Welcome to Tuned In with Mike Johnson, a public service of Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. Now, here's Mike.
As we approach flu season, a time of year where flu viruses routinely spread in people, it is important to remember the best way to reduce the risk of flu and its complications is to get vaccinated. In addition, adults over 65, pregnant people, and adults with chronic health conditions are at higher risk of developing complications from the flu, resulting in hospitalizations and possibly even death. There are signs and symptoms of flu varying from mild to severe illnesses that can occur, such as fever, cough, body aches, and fatigue. Since some people, particularly older adults, may develop severe or life-threatening complications from the flu, it remains important to get one of the multiple FDA-licensed influenza vaccinations that are available and produced annually. Being proactive about staying healthy for yourself and your family is important. And so joining us today on Tuned In is Dr. Anil Venugopal, and he is the Director for Infectious Disease for Optum. He is located in Mission Hills, and we're going to talk today about why getting the flu shot is so important, and advocating for you and your family's health. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us, Doctor. And, you know, as we say there, it's important that everybody understand the importance of the flu shot. In your experience, Doctor, are more people getting flu shots every year as years go by, or is it kind of stagnant?
You know, it's actually been kind of stagnant. There is fluctuations from year to year, but more or less, on average, certain age groups are pretty good about it, and certain age groups are not.
I'm guessing younger people maybe not as good.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, trying to get people to understand the importance of it. I mean, where do you begin? The education of doing shows like this and the like obviously help, but how do you get the word out more so to, especially younger people, the importance of getting the flu shot?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with media awareness, getting that message across, whether it's healthcare organizations kind of advertising the importance of it, or pharmaceutical companies mentioning it in advertisements, and then physicians having those conversations with their patients.
Making sure that people can get the flu shot no matter their status as far as healthcare. Is it readily available for everybody regardless of their medical situation?
Yeah. Based on the data we have about how effective these vaccines can be at preventing severe illness, the recommendation from the CDC really is that everyone 6 months in age and older who don't have a specific contraindication should be getting the flu shot every year.
Wow. Again, you talked about the idea of younger people not getting it so much. Is that generational? I mean, if my father or my grandfather didn't get flu shots, am I less likely to get them, and they reverse the same?
You know, there's definitely cultural differences.
Okay.
And different groups tend to be more highly vaccinated than other groups. But I think a lot of it just has to do with, as you mentioned, younger people thinking, oh, well, I'm healthy, I don't need to get the flu shot. I'm not going to have a big problem if I do get infected anyways.
So, Doctor, obviously in the last few years, everyone's been dealing with COVID-19, and tell me where we are today. I mean, do you feel that there are people who still kind of lump the idea of what the COVID-19 shot is with the flu shot, and maybe that kind of keeps people away?
Yeah, I would say that over the past, you know, 3 years, because of all the situational awareness everybody's had about COVID-19 and then also about influenza and that there's definitely a bit of fatigue when it comes to vaccines. The main issue, though, is that COVID-19 and influenza aren't really gone. They're still going to be coming back. It's still going to be affecting people, and there are always going to be people that are at higher risk for developing severe disease, and these are the people we really need to try to protect.
My guest is Dr. Anil Venugopal, and he is the Director of Four Infectious Diseases with Optum, located in Mission Hills. This is Tuned In from Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. You know, it's interesting. I have a colleague here at the radio station who called in sick the other day, and I said to her, do you have COVID-19 or do you have the flu? And she said, I don't know. So what is the basic, is there a basic threshold you can use for people to tell people how they can kind of differentiate one from the other?
you know, a lot of these viral respiratory illnesses, so these infections that are caused by different types of viruses like influenza or COVID-19 or respiratory syncytial virus, they all have very similar presentations.
Mm.
So they might present with like body aches and pains or fever, sore throat, cough, shortness of breath. There's really no distinguishing characteristic that you can tell just based on symptoms alone to say, oh, this is flu or this is COVID. Unless, of course, you know, somebody else has got COVID in your home and you suddenly become sick. It's like more than likely it's COVID. But even then, you never really know until you get your testing done.
One of the things that we referenced there earlier about getting annual flu shots, I think there might be some people in the audience who have it in the mind that, well, I got a flu shot a couple of years ago. I should be okay. But I think the idea, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is it's necessary if you're getting flu shots to get them every year because the strain changes every year. Is that kind of how it goes?
Yeah. Basically, every season, generally there's a newer variation of that virus circulating. And what they try to do is to try to predict what that strain is going to be based on what's happened in other parts of the world. For example, we have our influenza season in the winter in the northern hemisphere, but you know, in the southern hemisphere, their winter season is the opposite time of year.
Right.
So we often will watch what happens down there and see what's happening with the strains circulating down there to try and predict what's going to happen for us. And then we use that information to make the best decision about what vaccine is most likely to provide protection against those. But like you said, if the strain changes too much, then your previous exposure to infections or even vaccines might not be adequate enough for you to have a good immune response if you do get infected. So that's why we always recommend that people get that new updated shot every year.
I'm sure there are some folks listening who are going to say, well, I got the flu shot and I got sick anyway. What would you say to folks like that?
Well, two things. One, it's very common for people to feel a little ill after getting an influenza vaccine,
okay,
or even most vaccines, primarily because the response you're getting is you're essentially priming your immune system to respond to an infection. So you're revving up your immune system, and that same reason you feel sick when you get the flu is because your immune system is kind of going into overload, right?
Okay.
The other thing is these vaccines, they're not 100% protective, meaning that it's not guaranteed that you're never going to get that infection, but what it should do is reduce the severity of the infection. So if you do become ill, you don't get as sick or so sick that you end up in the hospital with the flu.
And I think that's, again, to that same idea that because there are people who might say it doesn't work, or it's not real, or it's just unnecessary, I'm sure you've seen enough cases to know how real and necessary it really is.
I've definitely seen between influenza and COVID-19 and RSV enough infections out there where people have done very poorly or even died from it. And in most cases, they have other conditions that kind of contribute to their poor health, but then a lot of times they made the conscious decision not to get a vaccine, and as a result, they end up having a more severe infection and sometimes actually die from it.
Whew. You know, I mean, it's interesting because I think that so often, you know, people have the mindset of it won't happen to me. It can't happen to me. It just won't happen to me. But those are the people that wind up oftentimes hospitalized, don't they?
You know, it's kind of like anything in life. You can never really predict what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So taking that ounce of prevention is always better than trying to treat something after the horse is outside the gate or outside the barn door.
Right. My guest is Dr. Anil Venugopal, and this is Tuned In for Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. We are speaking this morning about getting flu shots. It's the winter time, and of course, it's important that everybody gets a flu shot. One of the things, Doctor, we talked about a little bit earlier on there about the idea about getting people more motivated to get the shot. When you have a typical day at the office, and I'm going to guess, I'm just making up numbers, so you see 10 patients in a day, it could be 100 patients in a day for all I know, but we'll just stay for my argument here, you see 10 patients a day. Of those 10, what percentage of them generally say, you know, you ask them, do they want to get the flu shot? What percentage of them say, yeah, I'm ready, go ahead?
You know, I think it varies, honestly.
Sure.
But if I would say on average, when you're talking about older patients, about 60 to 70% of the time, they're willing to get the flu vaccine.
Okay.
A lot of times, it's just about them being comfortable with it and having that conversation with their physician to understand the true benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really encourage people to ask questions for their provider and find out if it is right for them.
Are there people who shouldn't get the flu shot?
The only people that shouldn't be getting the flu shot are people that have had a severe allergic reaction to a previous flu shot.
Okay.
Right? People that might even be sick right now, or people that got the flu like early in the season, they can always get the vaccine once they've recovered from that illness. Realistically, the only major contraindication is if they have a previous allergic reaction to that flu shot, or even a component of it that they've experienced in the past.
Does the flu sort of fall differently for men versus women? Is it sort of split on how people of both genders react to the flu?
You know, I don't think there's any specific gender bias when it comes to influenza infection. There are differences in vaccine uptake based on gender, and then also there could be differences in how certain conditions affect different genders, but I don't think really there's flu affects males worse than females or anything like that.
So we're just starting winter here, and now, of course, everybody listening, nobody wants to get the flu. So how can everyone listening best protect themselves and their families from getting sick this season?
Well, the number one way is to go out and get vaccinated, and now is actually the best time because flu season generally runs from around the beginning of November through the end of April, and in California, we usually peak by late December, early January.
Okay.
But you always want to try to get vaccinated before the flu season's really kicked off, because that way your body's protected and you have a better chance of not getting sick, right? The other thing is avoiding sick people. You know, if you know somebody's sick, stay away from them. Stay away from people that are coughing.
Mm-hmm.
Wash your hands with soap and water, you know. Avoid touching your eyes and your mouth or your nose without cleaning your hands. And then if you are around sick people, make sure that common surfaces are being cleaned and disinfected, you know, like tables and door handles and that.
One of the things that came out of everybody protecting themselves with COVID-19, where I think the idea, like you're talking about there, about so much also washing their hands, which I think most people do, but the idea of cleaning surfaces that are used in general. In your experience, do you think more people are taking the time to clean surfaces to kind of sterilize them before they go into a public place?
You know, I think we saw much better hygiene around cleanliness with cleaning materials and washing your hands and that during the midst of that pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are kind of swaying back to how they were pre-pandemic at this point, but it's still good practice to clean your hands before. You know, I always tell my family or my friends, carry that hand sanitizer with you. You know, I tell the same thing to my patients at Optum.
Many times people wind up in large groups of people going to a football game or a concert or that sort of thing, where there could be thousands and thousands of people. I've noticed, especially of late, that the practice of wearing masks has definitely decreased dramatically from the days of COVID. Are there some people, though, that probably should continue to wear a mask just going forward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think anybody that is concerned about getting infected, it's not a bad idea. It's a reasonable way to try to protect yourself besides getting the vaccine. But there's definitely people that have underlying medical conditions that are more prone to severe illness and really should take additional precautions to try to prevent themselves from getting sick besides getting the vaccine.
And those causes, of course, will vary from person. Those issues, of course, will vary from person to person. Let's talk for a moment here, Doctor, about the idea that people who are more susceptible to being ill and their need to protect themselves. Do you think that in general, even prior to COVID-19, the people who may have had more of a fragile type of body structure, body chemistry, obviously COVID-19, of course, forced people to pay more attention to these things, whether they did or not. The people who were having more fragile situations, though, with their own health, I'm going to guess this is just an ongoing situation for them for their life, though, yes?
Right. I mean, I think for the general population, we've become more aware of it. But you're right. There's people that have underlying diabetes or people that have asthma or emphysema or heart disease or cancer and on specific medications that might affect their immune system. Generally speaking, they have a good idea that they're a little bit more prone to infections than the general population, so they're probably going to be more cautious. But you're right. For the rest of us, we all became much more heightened awareness during the pandemic.
Sure, sure. Do you believe, Doctor, that obviously, again, doing shows like this are important to make sure that people understand the importance of getting flu shots. Do you think there's going to be a point where we're going to, it's automatic. You know, when you come in to see your doctor, you know, you'll get your blood pressure checked and they'll check your heart rate and they'll check your pulse and you'll get a flu shot. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where it'll just be sort of like the next big thing, that next thing that you just automatically do when you go to the doctor? Do you think we'll ever get to a point like that?
You know, I hope so.
Wow.
I think that would be great if, you know, we could encompass all these preventative measures at every visit so we're trying to keep people from getting sick rather than just treating them when they get sick. So in an ideal world, that would be great if we addressed every one of these issues for every person at the right time, you know, and prevented them from getting sick in the first place.
For the people who get the flu, obviously it's not a lot of fun. And, you know, what are the best ways that people can recover from the flu?
So for people that are sick, again, because the symptoms are very similar from COVID-19, if you do develop symptoms, and particularly if you have conditions that make you more prone for severe illness, I would recommend you talk to your physician or visit an urgent care so you can actually get testing done. Because if you get tested and get a diagnosis early enough for both COVID-19 and influenza, there are specific medications that can be given, antivirals or antibiotics for the viruses that could be given that'll help treat the infection and usually shorten the duration of symptoms and hopefully prevent you from getting too sick that you end up in the hospital.
When you think about it, and again, we'll go on your experience as a physician here for a few moments, the people who wind up, again, hospitalized because of underlying health conditions, you know, that are triggered by the flu or COVID, the people who have these underlying health conditions, do they understand really that they weren't looking out for themselves properly, or they just were sort of a victim of being in the wrong place at the wrong time? What would you say about things like that?
You know, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Some people identify that they have an issue and they need to take care of themselves, and other people really ignore it or just don't pay attention to it because they don't really think it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it on both sides of the spectrum, but I think the important thing is that everybody should be going out and getting the vaccine and trying to keep yourself from getting in the hospital.
You know, you hit on an important word there, I think, which I think often is the case for many people. Ignore it. And that concept, which seems like, well, you shouldn't ignore things that are going wrong with your body. Well, that might seem pretty common sense to you and me, but there are some folks out there who just kind of ignore things and hope they'll go away, don't they?
Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, some people choose to approach things like that. I mean, sometimes I do that where something malfunctions in my car and I go, yeah, well, maybe I'll just turn it off and turn it back on and see if it comes back again, you know. But, like, sometimes when that thing keeps coming up and that issue's still there, then, you know, it's time to go seek help and get somebody to help you.
Right.
Get through this, right?
Yeah, and again, we're not trying to make light of people who might have a different perspective on things. And you're right, with computers or some certain electronic things, you can power them off and power them back on, and hey, it works, it's great again. But this is your health. I mean, again, I've referenced this before on the show when I've had other medical people on. You don't ignore things. And I think the idea really is, if you know your body, you can kind of have a sense maybe that something's not quite right. Fair?
Definitely. I mean, nobody knows you better than you know yourself. So when something's not right, there's a good chance it's not. There's something off, right? And that's when you really should seek medical attention and find out what it is so that you can do anything about it to make yourself feel better.
One of the things I know, and this will be brought up by people in general, that sometimes it can be frustrating going to the hospital. The wait time can be long, especially if you're going to an urgent care. And sometimes if you're trying to make an appointment with your primary care physician, it can be sometimes weeks before you're able to see your primary care physician. You know, talk to people about that, because, I mean, that's, I think, one of the reasons why I think some folks just say, forget it, I'll stay home and try to do the best I can.
Right, and unfortunately, our healthcare system isn't in a perfect state just yet, and I don't see it anywhere in the world, but usually there's always an option to seek care from somebody, right? So, yeah, if you are having trouble getting in to see your physician and they're not able to make an appointment for you, there is always the opportunity to go to your local urgent care or to your local ER if you're that sick, right, to seek out treatment. Because, again, with a lot of these illnesses, getting treatment and getting diagnosed earlier is always better, because then they can actually do something up front, whereas if you wait too long, sometimes, you know, you might not respond as quickly to the medications.
And to that, you're right. I mean, you never want to ignore things that are going wrong with your body. And I think you hit on something there very important, because I think sometimes people are just of a mind to throw up their hands and say, oh, there's nothing to do, and the lines are too long. But there's always something to do, isn't there?
Exactly. And just because the office can't make time for you doesn't mean that your situation isn't important, right? So, like, again, if you're feeling off, you should check the next place then and see where you can get in to get checked out.
Yeah, and we talked about that, I think, briefly at the start there during the beginning of the show, about having the idea that there should be somebody who can always, if you can, have someone advocate for you. And sometimes it's, especially if you're in a really bad way, it's really, you know, the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, as they say. If you have someone who is making, you know, a bit of fuss, shall we say, it kind of helps sometimes, doesn't it?
It really does. I do work in the hospital, and I find that those people that have the advocate, usually the patient might not be as willing to divulge certain things, and usually it's the person sitting at the bedside that's saying, hey, did you tell him about this too, right? And they're like, oh, no, I forgot to tell him about that. And a lot of times it's helpful information.
Yeah, and I would imagine as a doctor, you know, when you're talking about someone's health, and you need, I'm going to guess, as a physician, you need to have as much information as you possibly can to kind of make a better diagnosis of what the situation is.
Absolutely. And not only gathering the information, but then also getting the information back to the patient, because the truth is, most of the time people walk out of an appointment and they've forgotten half of what the doctor said to them, right? So if you have somebody else there who can corroborate the story, it's often more helpful, right? So we make sure everything's being addressed.
Yeah, there was a situation a few years ago with a family member of mine who went to a doctor because of a physical situation she was having. And I went to her and said, what did they say? And she said, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought, wait a minute, you kind of need to pay attention to that stuff, don't you?
Right. Yeah, no, I've definitely had that where it's been like, well, no, we definitely talked about this. If you don't remember it, that's one thing, but we definitely talked about it.
And I know, again, it can probably vary from hospital to hospital, but I'm going to guess that most hospitals that are worth their salt are going to give a patient some paperwork on their way out the door indicating what they need to do, what they need to follow up on, and what they need to do to make sure that they're on the right course to recovery, yes?
Correct. Yeah. And again, usually they're going to give instructions about following up with your physician. And it is always really important to get that follow-up to make sure that everything is going as smoothly as we expect it to.
Why do you think people are afraid to go to the doctor?
I think it kind of goes back to your comment before about being ignorant. Sometimes it's easier just to pretend like nothing's wrong and you don't want to accept that there might be an issue, right?
Right.
But again, the earlier we can make diagnoses, whether it's influenza or any other conditions, usually the better off we are by treating it early.
And again, to that end, again, the reason we're doing this program this morning is to try and get people motivated to get the flu shot, because it is that time of the year. It's winter time when people are generally more susceptible to the flu. And it's about making sure that people have knowledge. And doctor, again, I thank you for your time this morning, because I think the information we've given to the public here is going to be helpful to try to get them motivated, hopefully, to, you know, not only get the flu shot, or at least learn more about it. If they're a little bit scared about the concept, at least to ask the questions, because at least you have a little bit more knowledge, right?
Correct. And I think the key message I want people to walk away with is that, you know, we do recommend the flu shot for everybody 6 months of age and older. And right now is the best time to go out and get it to try to protect yourself before flu season really kicks off. And yeah, just stay safe and take all those precautions, and hopefully you'll have a good season.
Dr. Anil Venugopal, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Mike.
Dr. Anil Venugopal is the Director for Infectious Disease for Optum, located in Mission Hills. And again, as the doctor says there, it's about knowing yourself. And as he mentioned there and referenced, it's your body. You kind of have a sense something might not be right. And although you may not have had a flu shot in the past, it can definitely save your life.